Morning, Rabbi Sai. So, continuing our discussion about Chodosh, which Bneida will finish this week. So, we had three rishonim from the Yerushalmi. The Chodosh is noig af b'chutz loretz. And then we have the Bach, who says very explicitly, the Chodosh is not noig b'chutz loretz. And he writes there, this strong loshen, de'osso l'chol moira hoiro, l'hoiros chumra bazeh, Neged minag olam. The minag olam is not to be makbid about cholosh. And chas v'sholom that any poisik should come up with a psak which says that cholosh is also in chutz loretz. And therefore, he said, this is the what's called. He says v'roitzah lahachmir yachmir laatzmoy. As they say, machmir a chumra. Yeah, if you make a chumra, do it for yourself. Yeah, there are some people who say as well, I'm not getting involved in any machloikas in halacha here, but there are people who say the same thing. If you want to be machmir and not to use an eruv, yeah, not any specific eruv, but they say machmir achumra, you can be machmir for yourself, but not to be machmir for the bnei bayis, not to be machmir for other people, not to go around passing that the eruv is possible, but just to, you can, any person can be machmir for himself to say, I don't use this particular eruv. Even some machshire eruv don't use the eruv themselves, they're machmir. Right? There are always reasons why there's a possibility of being machmir on an eruv. Simple one would be, yeah, what happens if the string fell down in the middle of Shabbos? You wouldn't know about it. It's possible. It can happen. Yeah, sometimes vandals do it, etc. So a person might say, I'm never going to carry in any eruv. I'm machmir. You can be machmir for yourself and not for other people. Says the Bach, same thing about Chodosh. Chodosh in Chutz Loretz is 100% mutter. He says the minhag olam is not to be makbid. And chas v'sholem, anybody wants to be machmir, yachmir la'atzmoy v'loy la'acher. But the problem is that we've got Yerushalmi, which says in three places the chodosh is noig b'chutz loretz. So there's a lot of discussion about it. What does the Bach do with the Yerushalmi? And the what it boils down to in most cases is a question of what happens about they want to suggest that Yerushalmi was speaking not about chutz loretz. The Rishalmi says it's noig b'shel goy, and the discussion might be that what about the field of a goy in Eretz Yisrael? So the Bach will learn that the Rishalmi, when he was machmir in the chodosh of a goy, was talking about the field that's owned by a goy in Eretz Yisrael, and they say there chodosh is noig because chodosh is noig but Eretz Yisrael. Everybody agrees, yeah. But in Chutz Loretz he held it wasn't noig even in the field of Eid. So even if a Jew would own a field in Poland, or a Jew would have a farm in England, yeah, then according to the Bach, a Jewish field is potter if it's in Chutz Loretz. It depends on the geographical location. Okay, so we've got the Bach, yeah, and we've got Minag Olam, which clearly was, and it was like that for many, many hundreds of years, that the Olam in Chutz Loretz was not makbid about Chodosh. In Eretz Yisrael, yes. In Eretz Yisrael, quite clearly, Chodosh is noig, even Bizman Azeh. But in Chutz Loretz, we've got the Heta of the Bach, and the Bach is just sort of reflecting. He says, this is Minag Olam. So it's been for a long time. And as they say, Chodosh is also Minat Torah. We're not going to bring in new Chumras, Legava Chodosh, which didn't exist for a long time.
Even in the show, most of the week is imported.
Sure, if it's...
What's grown abroad?
Right, I don't think so. I think I've seen it mentioned somewhere as to the issue, yeah? Yitzchok's asking, what about if Chodosh is noig, if you bring the produce of Chutz Loretz into Eretz Yisrael? No, if it grew in the Chutz Loretz, which we're saying goes the Bach, it's potter. Probably a lot of the wheat that brought it, I think the wheat that they use for matzah baking. Yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, Koimias, and places like that, is brought from Canada. I don't think it's grown in what's called. Have you ever seen, I'm just out of interest, have you ever driven through Eretz Yisrael? Have you ever seen a wheat field?
No.
Have you ever seen a field growing grain? I could be wrong. I stand to be corrected. But I think a lot of the wheat is imported, a lot of the flour is imported, and they've got special drums and things to keep it dry, plastic sealed bags and metal drums to prevent it from getting damp in the journey on the way. But in any event, I think that's true. So the question is, yeah, you're asking a question, what happens if you bring wheat from Chutz Lawrence, you bring flour from Chutz Lawrence, and you bring it into Eretz Yisrael, will the water... I don't think so, right? I think it's nothing to do with that. It's got to do with where it grew. So according to the Bach, grows in Eretz Yisrael, potter, grows in Eretz Yisrael, chayev, grows in Chutz Lawrence, potter, whether it's the field of a Jew, or whether or not it's the field of a Goy. In which case, why recently did we start to be machmir? Why do we start now that, you know, all the hechsherim are looking to make sure, yeah, all the stuff that's coming into the shops now, they've got labels on them saying new flour, this isn't chodosh, this isn't. And I think I can bring you Boskin would say the reason is because things have improved today in such a way that they never existed before, right? We've said in the halacha, we've said a few times over that there are so many different sfeikas. There's sfeikas whether it's noig only bizman hazeh, whether it's noig bizman hazeh, or only bizman hamikdosh, only in Eretz Yisrael, or only in Chutzla, or even in Chutzla Oretz, and if it's in Chutzla Oretz, whether it's a field of a goy or a field of a yid. But at the end of the day, in historical times, in medieval times, even up to 50 years ago maybe, that there was always a sofik with any flour that was bought on the market. Where did it come from? Right, what's its origin? Did it come from a Jewish field? Did it come from a non-Jewish field? Does it come from Eretz Yisrael? Probably not. But which country did it come from? And then there was always a sofik. Yeah, when was it planted? Was it planted in the winter? And it had already taken root before.
We had no idea.
Boss?
If it's not for that, it's not for
us. No. And what we're saying is before we said that it's mutter in Chutz Lawrence. Why are we saying it's mutter in Chutz Lawrence? We're saying it's mutter in Chutz Lawrence because people who were buying, right, they were probably buying goyisha flour from a goyisha field. And besides that, there was always a sofik. There was always a sofik. Even if you would hold that chodesh is knowing in Chutz Lawrence as well. And even if you hold that it's knowing in Chutz Lawrence in a non-Jewish field. Yeah? But nevertheless, there's still a sofik. When was this wheat planted? Right? Had it taken root already before Pesach? If it had taken root already before the 16th of Nisan, then the 16th of Nisan will be Matir the Chodosh. Bizman HaMikdosh, it would have been the Korban Omer. B'shlo Bizman HaMikdosh, then in Chutz Lawrence, it might be the 17th of Nisan, but the day is going to be Matir, anything that took root already. Yeah, the Gemara says, or the Poskim will say, that taking root is, we assume, 3 days after it was planted. So if it was planted more than 3 days, let's say it was planted more than before Yud Gimel Nisan, then the halacha would be that it's already, when Tes Zayin Nisan comes, or when Yud Zayin Nisan comes, it's going to be Mutter, it's going to be Yoshon, it's not going to be Chodosh. So there was always the Sfeikas. Today, we don't have so many Sfeikas. Everything is computerized. Everything is computerized. Every batch of flour, right? You see poskim, the halacha, the halachic authorities nowadays, the hechsherim, they put out signs and they say, if you want to buy Quaker oats, look at the side of the packet. If it's got this batch number or any batch number after it or something like that, then it's chodosh. And if it's got any other batch number, then it's yoshon. And the same thing goes with bags of flour. Today, everything is computerized. They know where everything comes from, and they know which crop it is. And even coming from abroad, right?
Everything. Years ago, everything was from a few 100 miles away.
Maybe, yes, maybe.
So we've got letters, so the doubt's still.
But today we're able to establish, right, pretty much, whether the stuff comes from Eretz Yisrael or doesn't, which is probably most of what we buy in the yard. But also, when was it planted? Was it a winter crop? Was it a spring crop? Was it last year's crop? Was it the latest crop? Etc., etc. And therefore, even if you buy, let's say, fresh flour in December, right, and it might have been planted after, yeah, it might be Chodosh, because it might have been planted only after Pesach. Nevertheless, you can establish that, you can know that, you can know what is Yoshon and what is Chodosh. So today, we don't have the same excuses, if you like, we don't have the same reasons for the Heterium that they had many years ago, because we can trace the origin and we can trace the location of everything. And therefore, there are more reasons to be Machmir today than there were previously.
Started at the Torah in Northwest London, Monday, Gimel Iyar, 20th of April, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Oleg Shlita of Kol Netzach Yisrael. Recap of Dirshu Erevin, Key Principles to Date, Part 2. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Sangha, Lichvod, the birth of a baby boy, and Lina Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben, Rabbi Shem Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zichrono Livracha.
Morning. My wife. I'm joking. She's in the hospital. Good morning. So last time, again, this is just a brief overview of the things that have been covered recently in Dirshu, but it's good for everyone. Anyone who's not doing Dirshu either, it's nothing to do with. It's a brief overview of the halachas of Chedek Dalet of Hilchas Erevin, the Hamistayev. So last time we talked about the various Rishiyos Shabbos. Rishiyos Shabbos means that you a place with, depending on whether it's Rishiyos Harabim or Rishiyos Hayachid or something in between, a Carmelist, would dictate whether you can carry within the area and also would dictate whether you can carry Rishiyos Lirishiyos. So last time we went through what constitutes Rishiyos Hayachid, what constitutes Rishiyos Harabim, and we ended off with there's three types of Rishiyos. There's Rishiyos Harabim, public Rishiyos, at the other end of the spectrum there's Rishiyos Hayachid, and anything in between, Minatera is a Makom Patur, a place where you can carry from, to, and in to your heart's content. Chazal, Rabbanon, Mesakan, a fourth type of Rishiyos called the Carmelis. A Carmelis is a Rishiyos, a third type of Rishiyos. It doesn't have the neutrality of a Makom Patur, and instead it has the same way that you can't carry. It has the elements of Rishiyos Harabim and Rishiyos Hayachid. It has elements of Rishiyos Harabim that just as you can't carry Dar Adamus in Rishiyos Harabim, you can't carry Dar Adamus in the Karmelis. And it also, and yet it's not, the Chazal did not treat it like another type of Rishiyos Harabim. It's considered like Rishiyos Hayachid in as much as you can't carry from it to Rishiyos Harabim either. Just as you can't carry from Rishiyos Hayachid to Rishiyos Harabim, you also can't carry from a Carmelis to Rishiyos Harabim. So essentially, it's three, after Chazal have instituted Carmelis, you end up with three different Rishiyos, a Rishiyos Hayachid, a Carmelis, and Rishiyos Harabim. You can't carry from any one of the three to any other one of the three.
Can you carry inside?
Again, also, like I said, it has a similarity to Rishiyos Harabim, but you can't carry any Carmelis either, Dalet Amos. So Carmelis has the chumras of everything. It's the most chumra in a way, because you can't carry Dalet Amos in the Carmelis either, and you can't even carry from the Carmelis to either Rishiyos Harabim or to Rishiyos Hayachid.
Which Carmelis and Rishiyos Harabim, then, if you can't carry...
Oh, you're right. So essentially, it comes out that it has the same halacha as Rishiyos Harabim. You can't carry Dalet Amos in it, and you also can't carry... Theoretically, you could carry it from Rishiyos Harabim to Rishiyos Harabim. You can't carry from Carmelis to Rishiyos Harabim. So, if you have two different types of Rishiyos Harabim, a platia or a sratia, you could carry between them as long as you're not carrying more than Dalet Amos. But once Chazal have told you that this area is a Carmelis as opposed to Rishiyos Harabim, you can't carry even within Dalet Amos between the two. That's what I meant. It's more common.
The Carmelis and Carmelis.
Oh, so Behem Omru said, even so, we'll see this. We mentioned last time there's various types of Carmelis. Most of the time Chazal imposed Carmelis on a Makom Patur. That's the basic Carmelis. The basic Carmelis is a Carmelis, Chazal said, any area which has its own defined Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim, even if Menatera is Makom Patur, that is a Carmelis. So Chazal said, took up the Makom Patur Menatera, and in almost every scenario, unless it's very small, gave it a different Carmelis. So that's an example of Chazal.
So what is a Carmelis?
So Carmelis is where Chazal have imposed the halachas on an existing Rishiyos Menatera. So sometimes Chazal will take a Makom Patur and say this is a Carmelis, and sometimes we'll see today some examples of where Chazal took a Rishiyos Hayachid Menatera and says this also has a din of a Carmelis. So you may have, you theoretically have end up with four types of Rishiyos. You could end up with a Makom Patur, which even Chazal left as a Makom Patur. There's a Rishiyos Hayachid, which Chazal left as a Rishiyos Hayachid. A Carmelis, which could either be initially a Rishiyos Hayachid or Makom Patur Menatera, and then you have obviously the Rishiyos Harabim Menatera. So essentially, you have end up, yeah.
Before Chazal issued this prohibition, yes, against a Carmelis,
yes,
was it permitted to carry this Carmelis?
It wasn't a Carmelis. It wasn't called the Carmelis. It was normally a Makom Patur. I could carry in a Makom Patur to my heart's content. Yes.
It was a Makom Patur.
Yeah.
This Carmelis. A Carmelis would be Hyde Park, no?
A Carmelis could be a Hyde Park, if it doesn't have mechitzas, correct. So let's do a quick recap. In order to be considered a Rishiyos Hayachid Menatera, it has to have mechitzas. So a place which doesn't have mechitzas can't be Rishus HaYachid. And always consider that Rishus HaRabim HaTorah has to be, let's say, according to the Shittas, has to be used by 600,000 people. So a place which is neither fulfills the criteria of Rishus HaYachid or the criteria of Rishus HaRabim, then the HaTorah would be a Makom Patur. Chazal said, if it's considered an area in its own right, unless it's very, very small, we're changing its name from Makom Patur to Karmanis, and you can't carry. So the reason for, in no scenario, if High Park hasn't got mitzvah mechitzas, and it's not very well used by a rabbi, it's not used as a marketplace, then Min HaTorah could carry it as much as I like. And Chazal were the ones who came along and said, no, it's got a din of a Karmanis, I can't carry that mitzvah a Karmanis, 100%.
When do they do that?
Oh, so they did, most of the time they did it at any time, at any Makom Patur that has.
So when did they institute this?
Oh, very good question. There's rise that it could be even go back as far as back as Moshe Rabbeinu. As far back as Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to see soon that in Erevin, the Erevin part of Erevin starts from Shlomo HaMelech. But the Takan of Karmelis may well have predated Shlomo HaMelech as far back as Moshe. I think it's arrived from a Rashi that goes back to the Karmelis goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so what I want to talk about today is when Chazal took a Rishus HaYachid Min HaTorah, even though something which has very clearly defined Mechitzas and Min HaTorah, I'm allowed to carry here, as Rishus HaYachid, the Chazal said, despite the fact that it has all the correct criteria to fulfill the dinim of Rishus HaYachid, Chazal said, no, even this area, we're going to take away the right for you to carry within it and call it the Karmanis. So this is the Simon Shin Nun Ches and Shin Nun Tes in the Mechaba, and it's halacha of a karfuf she'eino mukuf ledira. Chazal said that when you have a certain area, and that area is larger than the size of the Chatzar HaMishkon, which was 100 amos by 50 amos, then there exists a possibility. Chazal said the karf of she'ein mukuf ledira, which means, again, just translate the words again. Karf of means an area which is not used as a chotzer, so an open area like a park would be a very good example. A park she'ein mukuf ledira, where the mechitzas were not initially installed in order to allow me to use it as an auxiliary to the use of my house. So, let's say a chotzer is, a contractor will build a house, and then he'll build around the outside of the property, he'll build a wall for you to conduct your garden or chotzer activities within. If this area was not surrounded by mechitzas in order to provide a tznius or segregate the area, cut it off as an area which should be used as a mokum dira, rather it had other tashmishim. Gemara talks about it was a store place, it could be in a lumber yard, it could be a place where they kept the animals. Animals is a shine in the Gemara. But places which are not naturally used as an extension of the use of my house, then the Chazal described it as a mokum she'ein mukuf ledira. A mokum she'ein mukuf ledira, if it's too large, i.e., larger than the size of the Chatzar HaMishkon, which was 100 amos by 50 amos. Let's translate that into meters. So 100 amos is about 40, Kol Chaim Noah is about 48 meters. 50 amos is about 24 meters. So 24 by 48, just over 1,200 square meters. It's not a huge area. Anything larger than that, Chazal said that if it's Eina Mukav Ledira, so it has two conditions. It's larger than Chatzar HaMishkon. It's more the shorthand way of calling it as Yosemi Beis Asayim. It's larger than Beis Asayim. A saw is 50 by 50. So two saw is 100 by 50. If it's larger than the size of Beis Asayim, and it's Eina Mukav Ledira, then Chazal said, even if it has mechitzas, so when HaTorah Rishus HaYachid, because it's such a large, relatively unused area, we are not going to allow it to carry it because it looks too similar to a Rishus HaRabim. That was the Gzeir of Chazal of an Einoi Mukuf Ledira. I'll give you some practical examples nowadays. In the Tarnum Eruv, there are two parks on either side, one Spring Hill, and the other side near the rail track. I'm not from so familiar with Tarnum. Then on the other side, there's another park. Anyone knows what it's called?
Crowland
Park. Those two parks have mechitzas. Now, there's a minority opinion that a park is also considered in Mukuf Ledira. Most shittas hold that a park is considered part of the usage of the area, which means people go there to relax in the afternoon. So that would be considered auxiliary to the usage of the community of the society that lives in the Eruv. And therefore, most shittas will allow any a Shtat Eruv or Shkunati Eruv to include their parks. those parts are excluded Torim Eruv, and if you ask people why they're excluded, they may say there's other reasons why they're excluded, not for necessarily for halakhic reasons, more to avoid people gathering on Shabbos within the Sabbath till Erevin. But the official reason why they're out, if you ask the Kadassia, it's out because they want to avoid any issue of a karfa v'she'enu mukar v'dira. I'll give you another example. The gold is green Eruv.
What do they want to avoid?
They want people gathering on Shabbos. It's a serious issue rather than... But that's what my opinion. But I think there is a chazan ish that says that even a part may have this issue. But they've been totally on it. I'll give you another example. The gold is green Eruv. When they initially started fundraising, they issued a map of where the Eruv Mechitzas, where the boundaries of the Eruv were. And Prince's Park was included in the Eruv. And Basing Hill and Granville Park were excluded. So I wrote an email to Rabbi Zimmer and I asked him, what's the difference? That either you're being choshesh for Kafir, Eruv, Kavadira, so then they should all be excluded, or they should be all included. And the answer that wasn't from Rabbi Zimmer, remember the answer that I got back eventually, was that Prince's Park is located near Rabbonim, who are happy the Eruv is going up, and Basing Hill is, and therefore we don't want to, as much as we can avoid, if treading anyone's toes, we'd rather, Namaisa, and I was told then, don't worry, when it comes to the end, they'll all be included, the Kahava, they are all now included in the Eruv, because the majority opinion is that parks do not have an issue of a Kahava of Shein
Makrizia. There's a difference in Prince's Park.
Yeah.
People's back gardens with access to the park.
Very good. So, in all scenarios, in all parks, in all areas, I'm going to mention the pig, we'll get in a second, but it depends when the mechitzas went up. If the mechitzas of the park went up before people start opening their back doors of their gardens into the park, then it would still have, very good, that's the next part I want to talk about, how we define an Eina Mukar V'dira. But before we get to the more practical, this halakha is also very relevant when people go on holiday. Okay, perhaps not abroad, but people who go on holiday, let's say, to farmhouses, cottages in England, then, very often, everyone is very makpid to show their Rav, or WhatsApp nowadays, we all call the Rav, to ask them to make sure that the external boundaries of the property have complete mechitzas so they can carry on Shabbos. We're going to see soon that this halakha of Karfah, Sheini Mukhmadira, can be also very relevant, and therefore there may be additional areas to check before you're confident you can carry on Shabbos. Let's see how it plays out. So, Rabbi Blackman really said that it depends that... the halakha of Eina Mukhmadira, Chazal said, is not just about the size. Again, we said there's two conditions. It depends how big the area is, and also it has to be that it's not being used as an extension of my house. Now, the way Chazal set up this takana, it depends when the mechitzah built. It's halacha in the mechitzahs. If the contractor of a town or the designer of an area decided to enclose parks, parks is not a good example because parks is mutter anyway. But let's say there's a communal storage area. Everyone keeps their firewood. Now a large area of firewood zikha will be constituted ein mukar v'dira. If he decided that the design of this area should be has mechitzas before he started building the houses, then the lashna gemara is it's hukaf ul v'sof posach. First, the area had its mechitzas, and then he built a town around it, and it became part of the use of the town. But if at the moment the mechitzas went up around the area, at that time it wasn't considered part of the use, extension of someone's chotzer, then it retains that halacha of Eina Mukar V'dira, even if afterwards I decide, for example, to open my back garden into this place, because it's too late. The mechitzas went up at a time when it wasn't used as a Mukar V'dira. If the reverse, and the reverse is also true. But in order to avoid the issue of Eina Mukar V'dira, then first make sure to build the house in the, let's say, the chotzer or the house, and then before you put mechitzas around the park or whatever the area is with the large unused area we're discussing, if the bias is already open to the park, then you've avoided any issues because the walls of the park went up as an extension to the chotzer. So if I build a house, a country estate, for example, let's say country estate has different areas. And as long as if the bias in the country house went up first, and then only after the area is surrounded, that's an example of posach, which means I open my base dira, and then ulu b'sof hukaf, and then only afterwards I surround it, and that wouldn't be an issue. So I'm coming back to the summer holidays. Yeah. So if British agriculture is suffering from a lot, so that British farmers can't make enough money farming, so a lot of them are diversifying into holiday lets. So lots of places you'll stay on holiday will be on working farms. If, let's say a farmer has a huge field which he's been using for donkey's years for growing crops. Yeah, growing crops, as you will see later, is even worse than anything else. It's the worst example of Einu Mokladira. And he decided one day, I need to use this field for a large field. I want to make it into holiday lets. So he clears the field, doesn't touch the mechitzas. So the mechitzas were built lechatchila Einu Mokladira. And then he decides to pop up build a few log cabins or houses in the area. Then you will have a problem of an Einu Mokladira. The house was only built after the mechitza is already up. If it's already a large open area, it's about 1,200 square meters in the country outside doors. It's not a huge area. It's not hard to get that sort of sizes in the park, in outdoors. Then you'll have a problem that if my holiday let is in a field that was once, or lechatchila, the mechitzas were there not to serve the house that is now currently in it, because the mechitzas predate the house that was in it, you'd have a problem that I can't carry, even if all the mechitzas are perfectly valid. Because again, Chazal's takana of karfuk sheina mukvadira is even in the case, even where I have mechitzas, and it's rishis yochim natera, but if the design of the mechitzas were built in order to facilitate the use of the area, but not as a mokam dira, then I can't carry in this area. How would you know?
Yeah,
very good question.
He had a field.
There was not mokam dira as a sadeh. He then cleared all the crops out and put up some houses.
He built a house for himself.
No problem for himself. No problem.
Right. Can he carry in his own chotzer?
Absolutely not.
Not?
No. Because the mechitzas of his chotzer, very nice. If I ask someone to pop in now and survey it and ask them, what are the mechitzas for? They look at them, the mechitzas are your playground to keep your kids in. But that's not why they were there. They were built like a chatchila. To keep his cows next door from eating my barley. And therefore, it's a Einu Mokladira, and therefore, as long as it has to be this size of Yosef Yisrael. But if it's as long as there's an area, open area of Yosef Yisrael, these mechitzas are inherently flawed until you fix them. Now, how can you fix them? Oh. First of all, how do you know? You have to make a call. It's impossible. So the Ramah talks about nowadays when our towns, theoretically, they could have been built like a Chatchila. The builder may have decided to make not our towns, but in the Bein Chazal, where there were huge towns, huge walls around the town, he may have made the builder of the town may have made the decision to build the walls of the town first. It was a building site for 20 years till all the houses went up. A building site is not exactly Mukhaf Lidira, and therefore, how are you going to fix it? So the Ramad talks about it. The Mishnah Berurah says every time you have to make a decision and try and work out, ask the farmer, then you have to try and work out what you think happened in this when the Mechitza went up. Yeah, sorry.
People used for raising cows, and the
pens
would have been.
Yeah, but cows by themselves without a bias there is not a mokandira. The David Shabahim, there's a livestock is maybe easier than growing things or storing storage. Livestock maybe an issue. Mr. Bruce says people come, people are always in and out anyway. It may be considered an extension of the deer anyway. So livestock is a great area, but definitely for growing things would have been a problem. So what's the solution? So the Gemara talks about solutions, and it's brought to halacha. The solution is to take down the mechitzas and rebuild them. Now, it's a huge job for anyone to start taking down the entire hekev and rebuild it. Says the Gemara, I don't need to take the whole thing down. All you have to do is invalidate the hekev. Now, how do you invalidate a hekev? How much of a wall of a mechitza, let's say an area has four mechitzas, how much do you have to knock down in order to say, well, this area no longer has hekev mechitzas?
10 amos.
Ah, more than 10 amos. So as long as you've taken down an area of the fence which is less than 10 amos, more than 10 amos, then at that moment in time, again, so the scenario is you have mechitzas before the house is built, then you build the house, but the mechitzas predate the house, so you have a problem. By taking down an area of wall more than 10 amos, you now have a house without mechitzas. You then put the mechitza back. You have a house followed by mechitzas. So now your mechitzas become naturally turned into mukhaf
nadira. You don't even need to demolish the wall, you just need to lower it.
How do you lower it? 100%. You could do a corner, a tiny bit of a corner, because piskel again, love issue. There's various ways, but whatever the scenario is, what you're trying to achieve is, that I've removed the wall, the Torah, I removed the hekev from the area, I removed the Torah Shusayachid essentially from the area, and by when I redo it, I'm now redoing it in a scenario where the house is already here, so I converted the mechitas from Eina Mukhaf Ladira to Mukhaf Ladira. Now, what would that mean in here? So in Prince's Park, they did talk about it at one time for some reason. What they did was they just removed two fence panels from they slid them up, you know, the ones that slide in and out. And it now was now open to someone's back garden, more than Yosemite. So that infused the area, all the mechitzas of Prince's Park with the Mikra Dira, and they put them back again. And that would also be enough.
Would they need to get the shoes from the council for that?
I don't know. Probably not. No.
No, because you just said you changed.
Yeah, but this is not about controlling access. This is just about what the Matthias is. That once you take down the pieces and redone them again.
Yeah,
I don't
think
so.
You take on Yenis Mechitza.
No, they're back.
You're destroying Yenis Mechitza.
No, but it's a lucky problem.
I would have thought it's a lucky problem. Yeah. I'm hungry private. Yeah.
But the property belongs to the council. They lock it overnight.
Yeah.
They open it and lock it overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're saying that that's still called Ladira, Book of Ladira, providing that you've.
Yeah, I don't think that. It doesn't have to be nighttime access in order to be Mukha for Dira.
No, but it's their property and they have the control of it.
Yeah, but we're not dealing. That's. Dirun is the next problem. That's the next part of this monologue that we're doing now. Shinayan. That it doesn't overlap the two issues. The ownership and usage is not the same thing. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, therefore, coming back, when you take your phone and you're sending your Rav a WhatsApp video on Erev Shabbos, it's also important to, let's say, perhaps a more common scenario is, the farmer hasn't been as generous, and your back garden is a small area of the farm, yeah? So your area doesn't have a problem based on science, so you'd have to worry about when the mechitzas are built, because your private garden on the farmland is not going to contain yeast with time, so you can forget. It doesn't matter when the mechitzas were built, because your area either way is too small to have a problem of a karf of shein mukhladira. What may still be a problem is that because the farmer is not familiar with hilchas mechitzas, he may have an opening in your private area to a larger area. So the back of your garden may be open to an orchard or to somewhere else, which may indeed by itself be a mukhladira. There may not be any house there at all even now. So it will be a real calf of Shein Mekhladira. And so therefore, when you're scanning the area to make sure your mechitzas are allowed, you're not just looking that your mechitzas should enclose the property, you should also make sure your mechitzas exclude an area which opening to a calf of Shein Mekhladira more than 10 amas. So if your back garden opens to a big orchard, for example, or anywhere like that, or any large field, you have to make sure they're not just the back. It's not good enough to say to show the road. Yeah, my entire. Don't worry, the entire place I'm staying in is covered by mechitzas. If within those mechitzas there's an area she'ena mukvedira yosi beis asayim, you'd have to exclude that from any area you want to carry in. So if your back garden opens the karf, if you have to make sure that either there's a pesach between you and the karf of Shein Mekhladira, so you'd have to measure it and make sure, just like you're measuring the front gates from the road of the farm, to make sure that it's not wider than 4.8 meters, you'd also have to make sure that there's the opening between your private garden and the farmer's fields are also have a pesach not wider than 4.8 than 10 amas. Because by doing so, if it's more than that, then it's a piritza, and you'd be open, and your private back garden, which may be fine, would then be porous to Makam Asa. Yeah? You following? So even if you're not necessarily living in a Karaf of Shein Mekhladira, but if you're open to Karaf, that would be a problem in and of itself. A solution, if there's a farmer's gate between the two, then you could close it. Get permission to close it for Shabbos. So let's say your garden opens to a field, but there's a gate hanging on hinges. Then ask him if you can close it. Then you have to measure the gate. Very often the farmer's gates have large slats between, like their rods. You have to make sure that there's no gimel tefachim underneath the gate when it's closed, which is about 24 centimeters, and the gap between the bars are also less than 24 centimeters. And then you make sure you have a closed mechitza between you and the place and the karfuf. Just to finish off, also most farms. Just to finish off, two points. The halacha is that when we talk about karfuf she'ena mekhladira, if someone, there are two things which are a stira to dira, which means even if I would attempt to resolve the situation by redoing the mechitas, I have an area which is a karfuf, and I build a house there, and then I redo the mechitzas. If that area contains a significant amount of growing things, so the farmer, instead of clearing his whole field for you, he left half of it growing with barley or wheat. If that area is most of the field, or it's based on the size of the field, that area, however many times I redo the fence, can't change. That area will still be defined as a karf of she'en mekvedira, because zeroim am avatal dira. So growing place, things that are growing, with the farmers growing stuff in your area, there's one of the frum lets in Kent, one of these frum kosher accommodation in Kent, had an open area, and the guy had left uncordoned off an area where he was still growing things. And that was a problem because it was quite a large area. And then once you have a base asayim of zroim within the mechitzas, then you're done. You're done. There's nothing you can do until you cordon off the area which is growing. The same applies to mayim. Mayim, which is not roi lishsia or not for kvisa, dirty water. So there's a park in Edgware, Stonyfields Park, that's within the mechitzas of the Eruv. But the Rav there decided not to include the park in the Eruv. Why? Because there was quite a large pond in the park. It's dirty, disgusting water, as you'd expect, and it was quite a large pond. It was more yisrael based asayim, and therefore that park, the mechitzas of the park, are excluded from the eruv because the water inside can never be solved. There's no way of solving mayim she'enam roim lishtiya or kvisa.
You could put a
mechitza
around the mayim.
You could mechitza. Only else should be mechitza around the mayim, and there isn't. So, and yeah, we won't go 100%. If you cordon off the water, all the zora, then it'll be okay. One final point is, okay, no, that's fair. We'll be for next time. Okay.
So when you sign your contract with a farmer, you need to also tell him, I'm allowed to take down 10 of our most offensive.
Thank you.